We're continuing in our short series through a few of the chapters of the book of Proverbs. We're looking at chapter 4 today. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to crown your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your heart, for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Hear people say, God just wants me to be happy. And my response, knee-jerk response, is, no, that's not God's plan for you. Which doesn't sound very nice at all, does it? And I've been reminded that, yes, indeed, God wants you to be happy. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that your joy may be complete. Paul echoes this thought, that you may have complete joy. God wants us to be happy. John Piper years ago wrote a book called Desiring God, and the subtitle was something about Christian hedonism. His point was that Christians should be hedonistic. And you know, hedonism means just pursuing pleasure, pursuing happiness at all costs. And the book made quite a stir at first because we think, no, Christians are the buckled-up ones, the buttoned-down ones, the ones who do not pursue happiness, the ones who do things the right way, and the right way is never much fun at all. Piper said, no, God wants you to have joy. God wants you to be happy. God wants your life to be abundant. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The problem is that people tend to pursue happiness in the wrong ways. When someone says, God just wants me to be happy, or God, I'm sure God wants me to be happy, so therefore I'm pursuing this choice or that choice, which are contrary to God's revealed word, that's when the problem occurs. That's when they are defining happiness and joy apart from what God says brings happiness and joy, and therefore they follow a path that while they say will make them happy, ultimately may lead to destruction. In this passage, we get dangerously close, as I said last week about Proverbs chapter 3, dangerously close to a health and wealth gospel. For the writer of the Proverbs said, if you do these things, you will prosper. If you do these things, if you live this way, things will go well for you. Now, someone came up to me last week and made a point of saying, do you notice the pronouns for wisdom in these passages? Half of you probably noticed them more than the other half, but they are feminine pronouns. Wisdom is personified as a woman. I'm not going to get into that very much right now, but think about it. When you pursue wisdom, she will bless you. When you pursue wisdom, she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head. She will give you a glorious crown. She will guard your steps that they might not be hampered. She will shine in you like the morning sun. You will have life. So God says that there is a path that leads to health. There is a path that leads to wealth. There is a path that leads to life. And that path is through wisdom. The problem is, of course, just like with happiness, people pursue it by their definition rather than by God's. Health and wealth are pursued as ends of in and of themselves rather than as benefits of following after God's wisdom. And that's where we get confused, and that's why so many people end up following bad paths. And that's why those of us who preach in churches often will say, don't follow that health and wealth teaching. Because that health and wealth teaching most often will say, health and wealth is the goal of your life. That is the means by which you will be happy. So we pursue it and say, God will give this to me if I ask God for this. But God says, follow my ways. Follow wisdom. Embrace wisdom. And then these will be byproducts. Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added to you. The key is to seek and find your happiness, your joy in relationship with God. And if you seek to find joy in your relationship with God, you will also put aside anything that stands in the way of your relationship with God. That is wisdom. To say, no, I will not pursue that, because that is more important to me right now than God is. It's important for us to monitor ourselves and make sure that we are pursuing God, that we are pursuing life the way God has intended, which is to pursue wisdom. A.W. Pink wrote, many talk about salvation, but few experience the joy of it. There is much of the form of godliness, but very little of its power in our day. Oh, how rare it is to find any who know anything in their experience of the power that separates from the world, delivers from self, defends from Satan, makes sin to be hated, Christ to be loved, truth to be prized, and error and evil to be departed from. But this is what we're called to. Jesus, in John 15, as I said, says that he wants our joy to be full. But listen to the context. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That joy comes from keeping the commands of God. And keeping the commands of God is not just lining up and doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Keeping the commands of God, the purpose of that is to keep our relationship with God fresh, to keep our relationship with God pure, so that we can allow God to flow into us without any of those things that get in the way. Any of those other gods, small g gods, that we put before God, any of those habits and patterns that we know are wrong and we feel shame and guilt over, and then that we don't allow God's love and mercy and grace and hope and peace to flow in us and through us. And that's the most famous verse in this passage, is verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another translation said, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the streams of life. And the heart here is not the romantic Valentine's Day heart. The Old Testament word for heart is a bigger word than that. It's not just emotion, it's will. It's the very essence of who you are. Guard who you are. Guard your hopes. Guard your dreams. Guard your ambitions. Guard your habits and your patterns of life. Or guard your attitudes. Because out of your will, out of your heart, out of your self flows everything else. And what does that mean? It means that we guard our relationship with God. First and foremost, wisdom is part of God. So when the writer of the Proverbs is writing about wisdom, he's writing about wisdom that comes from God. Writing about a path that leads to God. Wisdom, sound teaching, depth of understanding all lead us to God, and there are things then that lead us away from God. That is why the writer here in verses 14 through 16 says, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way. John Piper writes that everyone is pursuing happiness. And those who pursue evil are actually pursuing happiness. They're pursuing a sense of value, a sense of purpose, a sense of happiness within themselves. And some people truly believe that killing other people will make them happy. Why else would they do it? They're very, very wrong. But that's their motivation. People pursue all kinds of things that God has said no to because they believe those things will make them happy. The problem is those things do not make people happy. We were created to be in relationship with God, and only in that relationship can we find true joy, true happiness. And wisdom guides us to live in such a way that we pursue God, and we discover that true joy and true happiness. C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters wrote, and you know, Screwtape, you have to reverse everything because it's written from the perspective of demons who are trying to mess us up. It says, convince them that they're making their way in the world when actually the world is making its way in them. So many forces, so many things are working around us and sometimes within us to convince us that this way or that way or this thing or that thing will make us happy. And the fact of the matter is, to be perfectly honest, those things do make us happy or feel happy for a time. But true happiness, true joy, true contentment, true peace come in relationship with God. And those things get in the way. Guard yourself. Guard your heart. All of our hearts get out of tune. Colin Smith, who's a preacher whose father-in-law played for the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and the London Philharmonic Orchestra owns a Stradivarius violin that Colin Smith's father-in-law was allowed to play. And you know, a Stradivarius violin is worth millions of dollars, a priceless instrument. And Smith was always amazed when he saw his father-in-law open that case, get out this violin, and the first thing he would do every time was tune it. Because just because it is valuable doesn't mean it stays in tune. God values your heart, but just because you have great value does not mean that you naturally will stay in tune. We all naturally go out of tune. We all naturally fall away from God, but we must guard our hearts. Fill our minds and our hearts with God's word. Fill our minds and our hearts with experiences of God's Spirit. By pursuing God. I'm afraid that Pink was right. A.W. Pink, not the singer. When he said that we have this form of godliness but don't have its power. We have this sense of what salvation is and we think, okay, I'm saved and now I get to go to heaven, but we don't know what that was really for. In John 3:17, Jesus says, 17:3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know the Father and the Son whom the Father sent. True life, abundant life, is knowing God. Guard your heart so that you can know God and don't let other things get in the way. Colin Smith went on in his sermon to talk about a dashboard of our hearts. You know, well, I was listening to this sermon as the dashboard of my car was flashing at me that I was running out of gas, and my car is nice enough to tell me how many miles I have left to go before I am out of gas until it gets down to about 10, and then it just flashes crazily at me, and I was listening to the sermon the whole way through that time because I had to get somewhere, and I didn't really have time to get gas, and I hoped that I could get to the place, and the place was up on a hill, so I figured if I got there, I could drift down the hill and then get gas after. But that's more information than you really need to know. What you need to know is my car was telling me something very important, that I needed to get gas into it. If we pay attention to the dashboard of our hearts, the clues that we get from our hearts, maybe some resentment is building. Maybe some anger will not go away. Maybe there are lusts in your heart that are pulling you and pulling you away from what God says is right and good. Maybe you sit in worship and you feel cold. You feel it's just something to get through, so that you get points or something. But worship is to be relational. Worship is to be a time when we experience God. All of these things are signs, are warnings. Be aware of the warning signs. And when there is something in your heart that is not, that is pulling you away from faithfulness, pulling you away from the joy that Christ has earned for us, in relationship, in establishing for us relationship with God, pay attention. Deal with those things. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the streams of life. And for those streams to be pure, for those streams to bring us joy and happiness as God designed that they would, they have to flow from a relationship with God that is more and more and more and more pure. More and more and more and more free flowing. Don't let anything get in the way of your relationship with God, for that is true wisdom.